$1 cash bonus. Register today as Week 1 picks must be in by kickoff on Sunday, September 9th. For more details, go to williamhill.us. That's williamhill.us.
ESPN Radio 1100 and 100.9 FM is KWWN Las Vegas. K265EZ. From the Finley Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company with Steve Cofield.
Well, I have a microphone and you don't.
So you will listen to every damn word I have to say!
Adam Hill.
Oh, man. Hey.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
On ESPN Las Vegas.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
And here we go on Monday. Adam Hill. It's company. You know, Schwab is here. Chrissy. And we're moving towards football season. I don't know why I'm completely distracted. But NFL Network, little outdoor remote. There's something about men with shorts on when they sit like Brian Billick that throws me off. And I might sit like that.
Well,
give the audience a description of Brian Billick.
He's got the legs crossed like he's trying to pull like a Sharon Stone in Basic Instinct almost.
Oh, no.
Like he's going to cross and uncross.
If he uncrosses all of a sudden.
It's disturbing, but
old,
I think shorts
old guy junk hanging out the side pocket.
Shorts in general are disturbing, but is that Andrew Siciliano on the left?
Yes, that is one of their hosts, Siciliano.
Because his shorts are even creepier because the way he's sitting, he's like sitting forward and his legs are so short that it looks almost, I don't know what the shorts are trying to do. It is weird. They're sitting weird.
Your shorts have a purpose? They're supposed to do something?
Well, I mean, they're either supposed to be shorts or I don't understand what's going on with it. It's the way he's sitting. That's what's throwing me
off. How come
you
guys never responded to I sent a picture text last week of MJD in the shorts midweek.
Oh, he's a big fella.
There's some thickness going on.
Yeah, he's definitely
there's
a big
junk
fella.
Everywhere. The trunk, the legs, the stomach.
It was
bulky. It was bulky.
It was, for sure. Well,
it was Husky Day on NFL Network.
He's been here in studio with us. Maybe he just, he got, it was the contagious sickness.
You think we rubbed off on him?
Yeah, he picked up on it.
He's like, oh, those guys are 5,000 pounds overweight.
No.
I can gain 75 and no one will notice. You're on TV and it's not radio, MJD. Come on now.
Now, on the shorts thing, I saw a comedian trying to work out some new material this week. And he was saying you can't wear shorts as a guy at night. Is that fair?
That's ridiculous.
I'm not doing
a shorts argument.
I think it's
fair. All I wear shorts. I wear them 10 out of 12 months. If I can get away wearing it the other 2 months, then I do it.
But at night even?
Yes. 100%.
Because this take was you can wear them during the day, but if you're going to go out at night, then you got to stop at home and put the pants on.
No, because my outfit in colder weather is cargo shorts and a sweatshirt. So I'm warm up top, and my legs are, gelatinously blubbery. That on the bottom, so they stay warm.
That was literally the outfit that the person had on in the audience that was getting relentlessly mocked by the comedian. He's saying, my legs are warm, so I got to go shorts, but up top I'm just frigid, so I'm going to go sweatshirt over that.
People have different cooling zones, right? Your top and your bottom can have uneven temps.
That's fair.
You worry about you, comedian. You worry about you. Okay. So we got a big day coming up here on a Monday. We're going to hear from Marvin Menzies. He was on brand new show, 10 a.m. every day, 5 days a week. Much more local coverage. We provided pretty good local coverage, but we want to amp it up. So Tyler Bischoff, who's been with RunRebs.com and was over on another station in town, has joined ESPN Las Vegas. And we're going to play a good portion of the Menzies conversation because he was in about 15 minutes today in studio. Marvin Menzies, basketball coach from UNLV, was in with Tyler Bischoff. That's the kind of power he has. He can pull in the big-name guest. Marvin was addressing critics out there who were ripping his non-con schedule, including the guy sitting across from him, Tyler Bischoff.
you're going to be fantastic in your profession. I'm already really good, bro. Like, you don't understand. I'm 56 and doing pretty good. You know what I mean? If you want to break down numbers of where I've been and where I fit in statistically, that'd be a good challenge for you. There you go. I'm going to give you your first homework assignment. You go back and look at me and look at what I've done, and then you'll be able to say, well, maybe the guy knows what he's doing and building a program.
All right, there you go. Marvin addressing his scheduling.
Saying many of the people who are criticizing his schedule don't know how to make a schedule.
Yes. You are about yourself. You are about getting good, Tyler Bischoff.
And he said Tyler will get good. He said, hey, you're going to get there. You're starting out. You've got a lot of potential. He's like, I had potential, and now I'm here. I'm good at what I do. I'm very good.
We will hear more from Marvin in the 5 o'clock hour. All right, big news over the weekend with VGK. Another one of the players. Questions around, William Karlsson? It's been answered.
Yeah. He had a arbitration hearing scheduled for Saturday morning. He was asking for $6.5 million a year. The team was offering $3.5, and the arbitrator was going to hear both sides. You don't generally like to go into those arbitration hearings, especially as a team, because what they become by nature is the player and his side saying how great he is, and the team saying, no, you suck. And that's essentially what those arbitration hearings come down to. So they're good to avoid for people that want to have a long-term relationship with their player. And VGK at the last minute does avoid it by coming to a deal with Karlsson at 1 year, $5.25 million, about probably what they would have had to pay anyway. But you avoid that nasty process. And, you know, I think it was an interesting spot for them to be in, because Karlsson had the kind of year that isolated would look like a guy that you're going to want to sign to a long-term contract for a whole lot of money and make him one of the highest-paid players in the league. But it was the first time he'd ever done that. And you understand why the team was like, no. Hold on. Are you the guy that's averaging, you know, 6 goals a year the first 3 years, or are you that guy that we saw last year? So he bets on himself a little bit with the one-year deal, makes some good money, and the team, you know, gets one more chance to evaluate him and see where they're at, and then they still have the potential to sign something more long-term in the meantime, but this avoided that potentially nasty arbitration hearing.
And you're not worried if he goes 35 goals plus that he turns around and says, you had your shot. See ya.
He might. He could. But I think as a team, you look at that and say, you know, you did avoid that arbitration part of it where, you know, you didn't have to have him sit there and hear how much you hate him, and
right.
You know, for him,
which we love arbitration for baseball,
yeah.
Right? You tear down a player,
yeah.
And I've always joked, and it doesn't happen as much anymore. Arbitration used to be a lot bigger in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s, but teams would go in and actually, you know, come out publicly just smashing the player, and then a month later they're like, come out and see the player, yeah. Well, we said doesn't deserve this money.
By nature, you have. I mean, that's what it is. It's basically a court hearing where the player is saying he's worth this much, and you as a team are saying he's not worth anywhere close to that.
And I guess as a fan, you could actually deal with that internal fight between the player and the organization if the organization then turned around and said, hey, we just saved, you know, $1.2 million on so-and-so because we won, and we reinvested it in this player. But sure. Too often, especially in baseball, they don't spend the money, and you're like, wait, what was the fight over? You didn't even spend the freaking money, and now you've got a bitter player on your hands who may not be around for the long term. So when you send your stories over, August 6th, the Karlsson story was in big, bold lettering. Is there a reason for that? What's going on? Are you suddenly even more interested in Vegas Golden Knights hockey?
Maybe I just don't know how to use the font size on my email.
It was a gaffe? Okay.
Maybe that was an accident.
So what's going on? Did you make an announcement on, Thursday night, and then it got out a little bit on Friday, but you know, you weren't in hosting, so tell the audience here what you're doing.
And I talked a little bit about to this with Ryan the other day, but I will be doing quite a bit more Golden Knights coverage this year. I will be part of the Review Journal's coverage of the Golden Knights.
So you're the number one guy?
No.
Who's number one?
Dave Shane is number one.
And then you're number two?
I'm number two.
You're the number two guy in the Golden Knights?
Yeah.
Really?
No,
a clapping drop would be good there.
No need for that much excitement. It's very good news for the fans, you know, because they will get a lot more of my takes on the Golden Knights in the paper, which is what people demanded. It wasn't something I wanted, wasn't necessarily something the paper wanted, but so many fans told the RJ, we really want more of Adam covering the team.
I think you're being sarcastic.
They had to do it.
I think you're being sarcastic. You did a, from what I heard, you did a great job, from what I saw too, you did a great job as the road beat writer during the run to the Stanley Cup Finals. So clearly your employers want more of Adam Hill, hockey expert.
That's the word. So okay. Yeah, that will be that is my new role. So less MMA coverage, although I'll still be doing some, especially, you know, with some major events coming up here in the next couple of months here in town. And
this is year round, right? This is hockey like every day. If they need something on hockey, Adam Hill is there along with your partner every day. This is big time sports, professional, major league sports deserves coverage almost every day if there's something going on.
Currently waiting on a text from Shea Theodore's agent.
Dang.
There's a, you know, that's the last of the restricted free agents the Golden Knights have to sign. So that should be the last story of the offseason unless there is
a. It should be the last story of the offseason.
Unless there's
okay.
a major trade.
You think?
On the horizon.
The last story of the offseason.
Well, training camp starts in a couple weeks.
It's a good point. That's what I was moving towards. It's starting here soon, so you're looking ahead.
Yeah.
I guess you're right. Technically, it would be the offseason, and then the next season starts basically now.
Well, there could be, and there are still some players available league-wide, and if the Golden Knights are at a place now where they know exactly what they have cap-wise, so maybe something does move on the, you know, the Erik Karlsson front, and there's other guys that are out there as well that could potentially be available.
No one is more connected. Maybe there's like two guys. Almost no one is more connected than Adam Hill when it comes to the UFC. We'll find out about a little more about that. I'll see if I can get it out of you in about 8 minutes, right? So stick around. So that said, you should have the inside track on what's going to happen with Erik Karlsson. So I'm looking forward to following that, if he is going to be traded to VGK. But on the way back, before we get to UFC 227, because Adam was down in L.A., Adam will also tell us, he had a comment in his tweet on Thursday talking about scaling back. What does that mean on Cofield & Company?
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews.
Finlay Automotive Group is pleased to introduce Finlay Volvo Cars Las Vegas at 5385 West Sahara Avenue. Come see their lineup of new vehicles. Test drive the cars you know to combine technology, safety, and luxury. Now showing at the all-new Finlay Volvo Cars Las Vegas.
If you're highly motivated with auto repair experience and schooling, Busy Boots Automotive is looking for you. Busy Boots is a 5-star rated auto repair facility at Durango and Flamingo. They are hiring entry-level positions, smog technicians, and an assistant manager. They offer hourly pay, not flat rate or flag time, with a minimum 40 hours per week guaranteed, with holiday pay, vacations, and benefits available. Stop in for a quick interview with Hamid at Busy Boots Automotive on Durango and Flamingo.
Bernice was in deep trouble with the IRS.
I owed $25,000 to the IRS. How am I ever going to work this out?
She called Optima Tax Relief, the number one tax resolution firm.
They always took the time to make sure that I understood everything 100%. It was like the easiest thing to do.
A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau and experts in the Fresh Start Initiative, Optima has resolved over $500 million for their clients. Bernice was very happy.
No more being afraid to go to the mail. No more being afraid to answer the phone. No further collection, no liens, no levies. Now I don't have to worry at all.
The bottom line for Bernice?
I'm now debt-free. What more proof do you need that Optima Tax Relief actually works?
For tax help you can trust, call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation.
Optima Tax Relief actually delivers what they say they'll deliver. They went above and beyond.
Call 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922. 800-375-2922.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Las Vegas Aces, the first professional basketball team in Vegas, has started their inaugural season at Mandalay Bay Event Center. Legendary coach Bill Laimbeer is leading the charge. And WNBA's 2018 number one draft pick, Asia Wilson, is taking action. Get your single game tickets now at LasVegasAces.com. Be a part of history and get your tickets today at LasVegasAces.com.
If your bank account is causing you headaches, switch to One Nevada Credit Union. With 46,000 free ATMs, innovative mobile apps, and convenient local branches, you can kiss your banker goodbye forever. Open an account online today or find a local branch at OneNevada.org.
One Nevada Credit Union. Our one focus is you.
One Nevada is open to all Clark County residents. Federally insured by the NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
At Finley Toyota, we do things big. With over 800 new Toyotas in stock, that's the largest selection of new Toyotas in the entire state of Nevada. That's a big deal. It means while you're going over our extensive selection, my entire team is running to get a great deal on that exact Toyota right before your eyes. So what are you waiting for? If you're thinking of buying a new car, come down to find that car you've only been dreaming of, because we're all about making big dreams a reality at Finley Toyota. I'm John Barr, and I'll do anything to sell you a car.
Back to Cofield and Company in the Finley Toyota Studios.
Garbrandt nearly out on his feet. Oh, T.J. Dillashaw going to close this out. Garbrandt trying to recover. Garbrandt in a world of trouble. Oh, big knee. Oh, that's it.
Declaring the winner by TKO and still the undisputed UFC Bantamweight Champion of the World, TJ Dillashaw.
UFC pay-per-view down in L.A. Adam was there. You hear the main event victory by the 135 champ, TJ Dillashaw. We'll get to all the details, the L.A. event here, inside of 5 minutes. We were just talking about Adam jumping on the Vegas Golden Knights beat as a regular for the paper.
The bandwagon.
Scaling back. By the way, you are the worst at self-promoting. Everything is layered with sarcasm.
Of course.
You are the worst. I'm not much better, but you are the worst.
That's who I am.
So you're going on the beat. Basically starts this week. So USC scaling back to a certain extent.
Yeah, I mean, we're still trying to figure some things out. I don't want to go away completely from that world. I enjoy covering it. I like the storylines. Henry Cejudo is one of my favorite stories I've ever covered. And, you know,
how long have you been covering it now?
Decade. About 10
years.
Dang.
Yeah. It's a lot of connections just to drop. They must not be happy over at UFC. You give them good coverage.
I'm sure there's some angry and some happy.
Some happy?
Sure.
Really? You have enemies
sure.
over there?
Sure.
No. Get out of here. The affable, lovable Adam Hill with the UFC?
Sure.
No, not the case?
Yeah.
All right. So let's get down to brass tacks. What's going to happen on Cofield & Company? We got Bischoff now. By the way, Tyler Bischoff, brand new show, 10 a.m. every day.
Technically correct.
He's going to be coming up here to talk about his show, explain why he's on the air. Really, got to justify it, right? Also get into some UNLV football news. We got Bischoff in the fold now. We got Ryan McKinnell in the fold now. Where's your place on Cofield & Company with this big hockey gig?
Hopefully it's right here.
I like that word, hopefully.
Yeah.
I like that. You saw what happened with the Patriots today, right? Another wide receiver cut. You just never know.
Yeah,
never know in this world.
Run them in and out.
Changes like that.
Things happen.
Wide receivers and radio hosts. Interchangeable.
Well,
I don't mean wide receivers should do radio shows. I just mean, you know.
There's not a whole lot of those. There's a couple.
Yeah.
Brandon Stokely, I think, does radio.
We're going to get to a Stokely story later. Thanks for the advanced tease on that one. I actually don't know if he can do radio based on what I heard.
Okay.
We'll see. The audience can judge that one.
I don't think there's a whole lot of receivers doing radio, but yes.
All right, so in your mind, you're good to go with the radio?
I would think so.
Okay. I like a confident stance on that front.
I think the listeners deserve it.
Well, I think if we did a poll question right now, deserve might not be the... might not win. Do you deserve Adam Hill on Cofield & Company?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
I don't mean it from a positive. I don't think, hey, they've earned me being here. They've earned my awfulness.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So UFC this weekend. We'll let that whole convo just float out there and marinate. Biggest story at UFC 227 was not Dillashaw winning, right?
No, definitely not. And that was the main event, but I don't think that was the story. The story to me was the flyweight title fight, and it was really both sides of it. I mean, Henry Cejudo winning the title is such an amazing story in
Why?
Many ways. Well, Olympic gold medalist who, you know, turns to MMA, has a really successful career, falls short in an awful way in his first title fight. He just got knocked out quickly and never really got to show anything, and then worked his way back up to the title, improved a lot of things, changed his stance, and made it to win the title. and I think it adds something. I know people were mad that I tied this in, but how could you not? It's real life. The same week that UFC president Dana White goes to visit Donald Trump at the White House, his friend, who he spoke at the convention for, with the interim welterweight champion Colby Covington, who has turned Trump's gimmick into like a real thing, goes and visits the White House. On that same week, the son of two undocumented immigrants wins, who also won a gold medal in the Olympics for the U.S., wins the UFC title. I mean, I think the intersection of life and politics and sports and all of those things coming together is an amazing story.
I hadn't thought of that. Did you get to ask Dana about that? Will you, now that you're off the beat, will you?
Yeah, sure. Now it's a definitely...
That's a good story.
Of course it is. I don't...
And his parents came over illegally.
Yes.
So it plays to that narrative.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. And that was a major story when he won the gold medal. And now 10 years later, because that was 2008 in Beijing for the U.S., he won. And now 10 years later, it's a completely different climate.
Yeah.
And now he wins, you know, he reaches the top of another, you know, another profession. And
by the way, I'd like to make a joke about our Olympic teams and undocumented immigrants. They would take every single one of them if they could win gold medals.
Of course.
Like our entire soccer team would have all folks who snuck across the border. If they could win, they would do it in a heartbeat. There wouldn't be this high road. People, you know, speaking from the pulpit, like, we can't allow this. Wait, gold medal chance? Actually, World Cup? We can actually qualify? Let's do it.
Yes. There's no question about that. Yes, it would get... The narrative would be very different if that was how it was sold. And by the way, the 2008 Olympic wrestling team was not very good. Cejudo won the gold medal. The rest of the team kind of faltered.
All right.
And yet... That Olympic team is now, I believe, something like 58-5 combined in MMA.
Wow.
After that, because it had, like, Daniel Cormier was on that team with Cejudo, who's now a champion. Ben Askren, who was just a dominant force, never signed in the UFC because of personality conflicts. He was also on that team. And then Steve Mocco, I believe, who went like 5-1 in MMA. So
that's
all
cool.
Those guys were on that team.
Yeah, that's cool. You can see the background of, you know, one of the disciplines that feeds fighters to MMA. So Demetrius Johnson, after the fight, I assume he was gracious. I assume he didn't call for Cejudo and his family to be sent back.
No, he didn't. Although, I talked to Demetrius Johnson about politics on Thursday, and he had some interesting takes. It was
like?
Like he would have no problem going to visit the White House. He said, yeah, Trump has said a lot of bad things about certain minorities. Never done anything to me. What do I have a problem against? Okay. Good enough. So I think that it wouldn't have been that surprising necessarily if he wanted him, quote unquote, sent back, although Henry Cejudo is an American citizen. He was born here.
Well, that said, I don't think the UFC, just because if he did go back to Mexico, would strip the belt.
I don't think so either.
Right?
No, go back over and you're not the champion anymore. But no, and I think this was actually pretty good for Demetrius Johnson, too. He's a guy who...
What are you talking about? He lost.
I know.
Lost for the first time in 6 years. He lost a chance. The next fight was likely a super fight.
No, he didn't want that fight.
Would he have wanted it after this fight?
I don't think so.
If he had won against Henry Cejudo, Demetrius Johnson, the 125 champ, you're telling me he wouldn't have taken a fight at 135 with a good money offer? Or were they just unwilling to offer big money for that fight?
I think they were unwilling to offer it, and he was not going to take it without making a huge money thing, because he didn't want to take the fight. He didn't want to talk about it. He said, if TJ Dillashaw wants to come down, he can come down and win a fight first at 125 before I fight him.
I thought it was all about money. I thought he just didn't get an offer he liked for a super fight between the two divisions.
Yeah, but the money was never going to be, like, he wanted money that was never going to be offered.
Like what?
Well, I think he's thrown out like $1 million. I think he actually would have wanted 2 or 3. Like, I think he wanted unreasonable money because he didn't want the fight.
And what does he make now?
Nobody knows. No, like, I don't like talking about the numbers because they're not real numbers.
We know,
right,
on the surface, because I would say, I want you to explain why you think this is good for Demetrius Johnson, a guy who hadn't lost in 6 years, and most people consider him best pound for pound. He was minus 550, minus 600 during the week. It's one of the biggest title upsets in the history of the UFC. I was looking back on his 216 payday because I don't think the info is out unless it came out in the last hour or so for 227, but his 216 info is pay info. On the books, he made $370,000. Now, I'm guessing he gets bonus. They have discretionary pay, which
is
quite the system.
It is ridiculous.
Right. Well, because you have ultimate power over the fighters. If they blank with you, then you're like, sorry, it's at our discretion. You know, we gave you a 500K bonus last time behind the scenes. Now you get five.
Yeah.
Doesn't his contract change, too?
I thought
once you lose, don't you get knocked down a bunch?
All contracts are different, though. So, yeah, there is a championship clause that changes what you make, and there's a championship clause that changes your pay-per-view points and that sort of thing, but there's also a main event clause in there.
Could this guy, if he made, let's just say he bumped up a little bit, right? He made $370,000. I think the money is important, folks, when we talk about this, to put in perspective what fighters might be passing on, why they're sitting out, you know, nearly a year many times. That's why it seems like there isn't a lot of action, although we've got an update on that with title fights around the UFC, but there are holdouts all the time now. Money fights are commonplace with the UFC and Dana White and their new owner. So say he made $370,000 for UFC 216. Say it bumped up to $500 for this fight on Saturday. What does it go back to? Like, is he making $200,000 on the books? I wonder.
You never know. You don't know how it's going to go. But his next fight will likely still be for a title, so he'll still be in that mix, and it'll be on a pay-per-view, you would think. So he'll be able to get part of that. But he didn't seem to want to go take a fight in another weight class. He didn't seem to want a super fight of any kind. He wanted to make more money but keep just defending the title, which I say that is an incredible feat, and it was completely overlooked.
How many in a row?
He had 11 straight consecutive title defenses, the UFC record.
That's pretty impressive. You're going back 6 years, because no matter what you think of the competition, and he's been pretty dominant. I mean, they got the little gloves. You know, you can get injured. Hell, Cejudo in the first, like, minute looked like he rolled his ankle, looked like his leg was going to turn into a floppy fest, and somehow he recovered from it. So that could happen to you as a champ.
It was a nerve issue. And like,
holy crap.
Like, two different times he set his foot and it just wouldn't set. And it looked like he was just going to roll over and be done. But he somehow was able to get through
it. It's so sick looking. Yeah. But anyway, DJ could have lost over these last 6 years. So why is this good for him?
So to me, he did not want to go out. And that's his right. I want to keep defending my title and be the greatest, longest reigning champion of all time. I want to keep doing that. And I should be appreciated for that, which is fine to say it. People don't necessarily have to latch on. They should be impressed by what he's doing. But he just kept beating everyone that came up. And they would say, well, the division sucks. That's not true. But that was the narrative of the division sucks. Nobody's going to beat you. So if you're not going to go out of the division, what you need is that rival or that guy that brings out the best in you. So he now he comes off the best flyweight title fight in UFC history. He's going to have a rematch against the same guy and a guy who beat him. So now there's interest in it. So the big money fight kind of comes to him if he's not going to go out and seek it. So if you're not going to do that, the best thing that can happen is what happened to him. It might have been better if he wins and then, you know, people want to see the fight again. Who knows? But, you know, he comes out with a legitimate rival that people are really going to want to see the rematch for.
Disputed decision, right? What do you think?
To some. I thought it...
What do you think it was?
I had absolutely Cejudo winning, no question.
Cejudo won 3-2.
Yeah. And it was... Listen, all the rounds were close. There wasn't really a round that was like, wow, that was dominant. Now, Cejudo did win 4 and 5 on all three scorecards. So, you know, he was kind of starting to take over a little bit late in the fight, but it wasn't like he took over to the point of, oh, wow, he's really crushing him. They were still close rounds. Now, I thought absolutely Cejudo won. May have been biased, considering I guaranteed Cejudo would win the fight, and I think that's...
Hey, why didn't you mention that?
To that?
I stink. I should have led you into that. You guaranteed... Guarantee is a strong word. You picked Cejudo middle of last week. Okay, that's a guarantee. Huh? You went as far as recommending a play against a minus 600 favorite, and you did it to Dana White?
To Dana White.
When was that?
Monday in his office. We were talking about some things, and we were actually discussing a time when I guaranteed Chris Weidman was going to beat Anderson Silva. In the first fight, and
which Silva at the time was what, like minus 400, or was he even that big?
It was a little smaller.
Okay,
but and I can only use guarantees for underdogs. That's my rule. Like,
right,
it's easy to guarantee a favorite. So I guaranteed it then, and I said I've got another one for you. I guarantee Cejudo beats Johnson this Saturday.
What was his reaction?
He just shook his head and said, "You're crazy, bro." He said, "Why would you say that?" And I gave him some reasons, and he's like, "All right, I'll talk to you later."
Well, he was here, right?
Yeah,
Cejudo.
Yeah.
He took advantage of the new UFC building,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So what do they have there that's so state of the art?
It's every state of the art, you know, training method you could possibly have. Like, as far as the, you know, hyperbolic chambers and the, you know, freezing tanks and the everything you could possibly imagine.
Why did you think he needed to be there?
I thought there's been some training issues in the past. I didn't.
He's had trouble making weight, right?
Yeah.
He's a big guy for 125 pounds.
Yeah, but he's a guy that's a wrestler also. He's known how to do it before. He's had issues with it in MMA, but he knows how to do it. I didn't think that was the biggest issue. I thought the biggest issue in this fight was going to be the fact that Cejudo is so talented and such an elite athlete, and Johnson had such an easy time in the first fight that I think it's only natural for Johnson to think that's who I'm going to see again. And we saw that reflected in the odds. People forgot how good Henry Cejudo is. Oh, Demetrius Johnson crushed him last time, minus $6. Well, that wasn't the real indication of who he was as a fighter. He got caught early in the fight with a knee that really just crippled him, and then it was over. That doesn't mean he's that much better of a fighter. You know, Conor McGregor knocked out Jose Aldo in 13 seconds. He's not an infinitely better fighter than Jose Aldo. It's one punch. Those things are sometimes flukes, and I thought the first fight, not that Demetrius Johnson won was a fluke, the way he won it was a fluke, and you were going to see a much, much different Henry Cejudo, and you saw it. It wasn't like Henry Cejudo dominated, but he got to show himself and what he could really do this time, and you saw how close it was.
Well, it was impressive because people have barely competed with Demetrius Johnson. We'll have more UFC updates and what's trending at the halfway point of the show around 4:30, but on the way, Lakers, finally, we get the on-the-ground in Vegas over-under win total for this next season. Might surprise a lot of Lakers fans.
Join the conversation on Twitter at ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Las Vegas, this is NASCAR driver Brendan Gaughan, inviting you to join me and my family for the South Point 400. The NASCAR playoffs start here in Las Vegas on September 16th. Every lap, every turn, every second counts for the championship. I've been racing for years, and it's intense, baby. This year, we're up in the ante and bringing the Budweiser Clydesdales. Kids under 12 get in for just $10 at my hometown track, Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Tickets are going fast at LVMS.com or call 800-644-4444. September 16th, Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Crivetti Orthopedics and Sports Medicine has been providing orthopedic care in the Las Vegas Valley for more than 15 years. Whether a top-notch athlete, active adult, weekend warrior, younger athlete, or someone who is experiencing everyday joint pain, Dr. Michael Crivetti and Dr. Caleb Pinneger have the knowledge, talent, and experience to get you back in your game. Crivetti Orthopedics is committed to personal attention, quicker recovery times, and most importantly, successful outcomes. Put your trust in the team of experienced professionals at Crivetti Orthopedics. Visit CrivettiOrtho.com today.
This month's plumbing tip is brought to you by Mach 1 Plumbing. Draining the sediment from your water heater can prolong the life of your tank. Attach a garden hose to the drain valve at the bottom of the unit to drain the sediment. With 25 years of plumbing experience, third-generation plumbers Doug and Jake with Mach 1 Plumbing is your choice for your plumbing needs. Go to Mach1Plumbing.com and download the app and see how easy it is to schedule a plumber 24/7. That's Mach1Plumbing.com and download the Mach 1 Plumbing app. Mach 1, plumbing made easy.
Listen to ESPN Radio 1100, 100.9 FM for your chance to win a night out with the Las Vegas Sports Radio Network team at Board & Brush Creative Studio and design your sign on Thursday, August 9th. Follow us on Facebook at ESPN Las Vegas or Board & Brush Las Vegas.
Now, back to Cofield and Company.
Numbers are out for the NBA season. Over-under win totals. Lots of intriguing numbers to examine. Let's start with the headliner, the Lakers. Where did you have the Lakers for this season in terms of wins?
I was around 45.
Okay, you're around 45. I was 50 and a half.
Ooh.
West is tough. I mean, last year the West had 9 teams that won 46 games or more, and it was really hard to win 50. So 50 and a half is pretty aggressive. What I'm counting on is that some of the teams that were in the playoffs are going to drop down a little bit, but on the negative side for the Lakers, the bottom of the West is coming up.
Yeah.
It is going to get better. So that doesn't mean, you know, Young Schwab loves the Suns, and he was asking about 2 weeks ago, like, are they going to make the playoffs? I don't think they're ready yet, but that doesn't mean, hey, if they win 6 more games,
they got to come from somebody's wins.
That is progress, and it has to come from someone win. You know, someone's wins. The Kings, same thing. You know, a few more wins, they're beating, you would assume, someone in that top 10 or so. So the number on the Lakers from the folks at the Westgate is 48.5, which is not really in the middle, but between Adams 45 and my 50 and a half. So for you, if you play the NBA, this is not a lock. This is a strong play. You said 45.
Yeah.
That's way under.
Well, I generally don't like betting season win totals because you don't know what's going to be there. Like, you could make the bet of under, and all of a sudden they trade for, you know, whoever. Does Kawhi Leonard actually get traded again?
Okay, so then you shouldn't. So if you're considering that, it shouldn't be 45. Then 48 and a half is probably a good number. Actually, my 50 and a half is a good number.
No, but
you have to think.
Also might not. They could also be terrible and start trading away some guys to clear cap space for later on.
So you love 45 then?
With the team as it's constituted now, yeah, I would think 45 is about the right
okay,
number.
Okay, but when you say with the team constituted now, you don't love 45 then?
I don't love 45.
Well, you don't love 45 wins if you think, if you're hesitant to bet it. That's my whole point.
No, it's not this.
You would be nervous to bet it.
It's not this situation. It's any season wins. I don't bet season win totals.
Okay, I don't care about your betting philosophy. This situation, you would not bet under 48 and a half because you think there is a scant possibility they add at some point in the season. So you wouldn't bet it. That's all.
No, yeah, only like I would bet the under.
Please do not say again, I don't play totals. We're playing the game that you play totals, okay?
Yeah,
just
I know.
Play
that's
along.
What I'm saying. So in that case, yeah, I would bet the under.
Okay.
Yes. But that's why I don't play them.
I knew it.
Right.
Did you see what Young Schwab's like? He's looking at me like, as I mouth butt.
Right. But I don't play. I don't play them for that reason. That's why I don't. But in this case, yes. If you're saying right now, where's the number? I would bet it under because I had a 45 and they put a 48 and a half.
I'll go over.
Okay.
I think 50 and a half. If I think, obviously, they're not. When I set the number at 50 and a half, they're not going to win 50 and a half games. It's not going to be an aces situation where they didn't get a half a win or a half a loss. Which, by the way, we will get to that. That is a big story.
48-23 with one no contest.
Right? Sure. Give them whatever point they give in the NHL for going overtime, right? Charles Barkley actually spoke on this without realizing he was speaking on it. About Lakers projection. So again, Westgate has the Lakers at 48.5 season win total. And there are a lot of people out there who are saying Lakers are the third team, which, hell, if they're the third team, that could have them at like 53, 54 wins. I mean, our buddy RJ Bell was on Fridays, and I do the show on FSR National on Friday nights and Saturday nights. I think he scaled it back a little bit. When there was still the question mark of Kawhi coming, he was at like 55. So I'm guessing he's at closer to 53, but he's been, I mean, like really pro LeBron. So that 48 and a half, we'll have to ask him on Friday, has to be a play.
You would think so, yeah.
That's if he's at 53 or 52 and a half. So Barkley actually spoke about the Lakers on the Dan Patrick Show recently, Charles Barkley, and they got into not the win total yet. First point was, hey, just where are the Lakers in the Western playoff race?
They're number five seed, maybe six in the West. I don't think they're better than Oklahoma City. I don't think they're better than the Denver Nuggets. Minnesota's better than the Lakers. The greatest LeBron is, I see them as a 4, 5, 6 seed.
Okay. Let's stick with 5 or 6 because then he went back to 4.
He listed three teams without even getting to, like, the Warriors or the Rockets.
Well, he actually said he thinks the Rockets are – he didn't say the Rockets are going to win less than the Lakers, but he said the Rockets are going to take a step back. So I don't know if he – maybe he doesn't have the Rockets in the top four. But you're right. He named – if the Rockets are there, then it's what? Golden State, Rockets. He said Denver. He said Minnesota. And he said OKC.
Right.
So right there, the Lakers are
– six.
At six.
Yeah. That's pretty low. I think they're between 6 and 8.
You do?
Yeah.
So you agree with them. Wow.
I'll put Sacramento, Phoenix, Portland, everybody.
No, you won't.
Sure. It'll be a long year. LeBron and his misfits.
Westgate has Portland as one of those teams falling way back.
Yeah.
From high 40s to 41.5. San Antonio goes from 47 to 43.5. OKC, up a tick, 50.5. Minnesota, he just mentioned Minnesota, Barkley did, is better than the Lakers. They're actually 4 wins behind on the odds board, 44.5 wins. He's got New Orleans moving back a couple of slots to 45.5 wins. It's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if Barkley thinks that the Rockets are dropping down, well, Westgate has the Rockets. They are going to drop down from 65 wins a year ago, but they're still at 54 and a half wins.
And where's Utah at?
Utah is actually right there with the Lakers, 48 and a half.
And I think Utah might be a little better.
You do?
Again, as they're constructed, yeah. And I think the Lakers are playing for next year at this point. But yeah, it's LeBron and a bunch of goofs. And LeBron, I think, will probably even start resting.
He could rest, but the one thing you're not going to do is mess around with the eight.
Yeah, you obviously want to avoid the Warriors in the first round. So depending on where they're playing, like where they are during the season, I would think. I mean, you don't want to run him out there and get him killed in a year where your plan is not to compete for a title.
Totally agree. He's got to rest, but you can't play with fire and miss the playoffs.
Yeah, and I'm sure LeBron would absolutely not allow that. So if they're anywhere close, then he would, I'm sure, run out there every night. But this is not the season for the Lakers. I'm sure Lakers fans don't want to hear that, but they're obviously not playing for this season to be their year.
I think there'll be if there was an internal struggle and there were some folks there who were like, it's really not our year, so we don't have to go crazy to make the playoffs. You just said it. LeBron is going to push for it. And I assume upper management will be like, you know what? Playoff money's kind of nice. Let's have a series or two in the playoffs. We'd like to make that money. Here's Barkley and Dan Patrick mentioning the season win total. Now, they don't know what the season win total is. I think DP is going off of offshore numbers or just speculation.
He got 20 easy wins the last few years. He won't get those easy 20 wins at a Western Conference.
Yeah, I'm curious that, too. That I think the over-under is 50 wins for the Lakers this year. What do you think of that number?
50. I think that's a right about right. I think they're right in that neighborhood.
All right, there you go. Barkley, lock. Right in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
50, over 48 and a half.
I don't know. Being over by a game and a half is a lock. If you would have thought, I think they won 57 games. You're like, okay, that's a lock. That's the over.
If you were Barkley, and we know he likes to gamble, he's here all the time, playing in the high living rooms and for a lot of money, likes to sports gamble. If you were going back to the first bite, he said the T-Wolves are better than the Lakers. If he was offered a head-to-head T-Wolves versus the Lakers season win total, you think he'd take it? He takes T-Wolves?
Without knowing how dumb it is that their four wins lower. Yeah, he probably would take it. He's not a very good gambler. He's worse at gambling than he is golfing, I think.
What do you think would sucker him into the bet?
Give him a plus 120.
Oh, I think he would do it even.
Okay,
he doesn't know.
That's true.
You're right. He doesn't. Don't bet it head to head. Just bet the over 45 and a half or 44 and a half on the T-Wolves.
He should get plus 350 on that.
I don't know if it's that high, but...
Probably would be. It's a four-win difference. It's pretty big. Especially with all the teams in between them.
We got an Urban Meyer update coming up in about 20 minutes, but on the way, our newest host, 10 a.m. every day, Monday to Friday, right here on ESPN Las Vegas, Tyler Bischoff will join us.
Hit up Cofield & Company on Facebook, like ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, it's Chris Fox. Do you ever look at your car or your truck and you have a ding, a dent, a scratch on the body or the bumper that's just driving you crazy and it makes you cringe? Well, if you're like me, it will drive you nuts. So do what I did. Call the experts at Dent Pro Las Vegas. Dent Pro will come to you and fix it on the spot. Dent Pro Mobile Paintless Dent Removal will send out a licensed certified tech, and prices start at just $99 a dent. And if you have more than one dent, they'll give you a discount. Check out DentProLasVegas.com or call them at 702-368-DENT. That's 368-3368. And get it scheduled today.
Yes, Air Conditioning and Plumbing. Keeping you cool in the summer, warm in the winter, and available anytime your plumbing won't go with the flow. Schedule your air conditioning or plumbing checkup. 888-4937. 888-4937. Go to theyesmancan.com. License 7233 and 71246.
The best time to see a Kia is during Kia America's Best Value Summer Clearance. Going on now at Findlay Kia. Come in and enjoy our great selection, great prices, and no-hassle sales experience. Come see a Kia. Findlay Kia. On Sahara, just west of Decatur.
Findlay Kia.
Back to School 101 from Staples. Today's lesson, modern dance. Staples has everything your kids need for back to school at low prices. So when your son finds the Gotta Have It backpack he's been wanting at a Gotta Have It price you've been wanting, you'll both break out your happy dance. Go to staples.com/weeklyad for a coupon to get $5 off your $25 in-store purchase of school supplies. Staples, the back to school specialty store.
Offer ends 8/11/18. Exclusions apply. See store staples.com for details.
Sign up today for a new William Hill Mobile Sports account and you can earn up to a $50 bonus. The William Hill Mobile Sports app allows you to bet on the go from any iPhone, iPad, or Android device from anywhere in Nevada. With the largest wagering menu, the mobile sports app features live in-play betting on football, baseball, basketball, hockey, soccer, and tennis. You can fund your mobile account at over 350 locations including PT's, Sierra Gold, SG Bar, Sean Patrick's Pub, and 7-Elevens throughout Nevada. For more information, visit williamhill.us. William Hill, the home of betting.
Hey gang, it's Brennan Gaughan here. Get your tickets now for the inaugural South Point 400 on Sunday, September 16th at Las Vegas Motor Speedway. It's my hometown track where I started my racing career a few years ago. Okay, way back when. But be sure to invite your friends, family, and bring the kids along. Bet you didn't know, kids under 12 get in for just 10 bucks. High speed, all-out racing action, and entertainment, including the Budweiser Clydesdales. There's no place you'd rather be. Get your tickets now at lvms.com or call 644-4444.
Business gets done at the iconic Las Vegas Country Club. Vegas has happened since 1967 at this special place in the heart of Las Vegas. Make an indelible impression on valued clients, lifelong friends, and other special people in your life by hosting any size event or wedding in our landmark clubhouse or dramatic outdoor patio. Call the experts at 734-1122, extension 298, or visit lasvegascc.com to reserve. The Las Vegas Country Club. The tradition continues.
Hey, homeowners, listen up. Interest rates are rising, and experts agree they'll continue to rise. So you need to seriously think about refinancing now before rates go up more. The longer you wait, the more interest you might pay. So if you even thought about pulling cash out of the equity in your home to pay off credit cards, car loans, or purchase an investment property, you need to make the cash call now at 855-875-CASH before mortgage rates rise anymore. Cash Call Mortgage can still refinance your loan at a low fixed interest rate for a flat fee of just $995 and will pay all third-party closing costs. Call 855-875-CASH today to begin the quick and easy process. We close most loans in less than 21 days to get you the cash you need fast. That's 855-875-CASH.
First Mortgages, Impact Mortgage Corp., DBA Cash Call Mortgage, One City Boulevard, Orange, California, 92868, NMLS, 128231. Equal housing lender, not licensed in all states, including New York. Call 855-657-9910 for licensing, terms, conditions, and restrictions.
That's 855-875-CASH.
Now, back to Cofield and Company.
We have a new show on ESPN Las Vegas. We start the local block earlier, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m., Tyler Bischoff. Technically correct? Tyler's on the horn with Steve and Adam. What's up, Tyler?
Hello, you don't like the name?
How'd you come up with it?
I feel like it's me. I am technically correct. If you follow my Twitter feed, it's technically correct all the time.
I like that. It's a way to kind of explain yourself out of any sort of issues.
Yes, yes, yeah. Any time there's problems, it's just a joke or technically correct or sarcasm, yeah.
What else was in the running for names of this show, this 10 a.m. show with Tyler Bischoff?
That was pretty much always the favorite. At one point, Too Hot for Me with Tyler Bischoff was out there, but that was a little too inside joke on Twitter to go with Too Hot for Me, so once Technically Correct came out, that was pretty much what stuck.
I assume this was the brainchild of you and management getting together. What? Why are you laughing?
Not so much.
Okay. Adam, are you down with Technically Correct?
I think it's my favorite name of a show that I've heard in a long time.
Okay. Well, one person likes it.
Yeah, I think it's
more than one.
I think it says a lot about your personality and what you're going to hear on the show.
It's on brand is what we're going for.
It's on brand. Bischoff and Company, obviously an easy one. Probably should have gone with that. Or a little, well, this is too old, isn't it, Adam? For Tyler is a little younger than us, like a lot younger. Bischoff's Bunch, like the baseball bunch?
No.
No? Well, it's not an ensemble cast, is it, right? It's just you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there'll be other people that come in and talk to me, but yeah, it's just me.
All right. So what's the focal point of the show? Why are you on the station?
Why am I on the station? Because I'm great. What do you mean, why am I on the station?
What are you going to give us, Bischoff, that we don't already provide the audience?
I am going to give you guys local sports. We had Marvin Menzies on the show today. We're going to have Gerard Gallant on the show tomorrow. We're not going to be rambling on about the Lakers' win total with LeBron James. Who cares about that?
Nobody cares about that! No, it's good, though. We need more local stuff, and there's been a cry for more local coverage. So you're going to get a ton of UNLV and Vegas Golden Knights and Aces and 51s and our soccer team, the Lights FC, and every other local sport that's coming to town. It's going to be chock full of local info, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Congrats. Congrats. Yeah. I mean that.
Thank you.
I'm busting your chops, but I mean that.
I don't know if you do. But
no, I do. No, I do. I absolutely do. All right. So I heard you talking a little bit this morning about UNLV's football schedule moving ahead, and this specifically points to what they're going to be doing in terms of non-con in this new stadium. So I guess start off with what the BYU news, and then there's a whole slate of games that's pretty much set out to like 2025, right?
Yeah, so they're going to play BYU home and home 2023-2024, start in Provo, come to Vegas in 2024, but if you look at the schedule, they play at USC this year. From this year until 2026, they already have at least one Power 5 team scheduled every single year. And for five of the next 8 years, they have at least two major teams, if you include BYU as a major team, for five of the next 8 years. Like, they're going almost overboard in terms of their difficulty in the non-conference schedule, which, if you're UNLV, is a very weird thing to do, given that they're always struggling to go to a bowl game. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to play UCLA and BYU in the same season, but that's what they're doing.
Well, what do you know about scheduling?
I don't know anything about scheduling. Not at all. I don't know the contract. I don't know what was in place 3 years ago before Marvin Menzies took over. Nothing at all.
What do you think of the BYU scheduling?
I like it just because as far as fan angst, fan hate, BYU is really high on the list, so anytime they can play BYU in football or basketball, it's terrific.
Adam, what do you think of the BYU scheduling? I don't like it.
Why is that?
I don't think they need BYU on the schedule. I understand what Tyler's saying. It may draw some extra fans, but I'd rather play a home-and-home series with a true Power 5 school, and I don't need to help BYU recruit more in Las Vegas. BYU left the conference. And here's the other thing. I'll go a little more hardcore on this, and we've talked about this before. In a conference that I think is becoming more about inclusion, I don't think a school that oftentimes is about exclusion should be rewarded. By the way, UNLV is the most diverse student body in the country. This last year, number one ranked with two other schools in the country. That's sort of why I don't think BYU's mission is lined up with UNLV's mission.
Why don't you show that you can show them that diversity wins?
Okay, I guess that's touche. You could fire back on that one. But Bischoff, your main point is rivalry, and they're going to need to make sure that that stadium is getting fans out there. And any way you can do that is a positive.
Well, it's just fun. Like, I mean, I'd rather cover. I'd rather watch it. I'd rather everything UNLV BYU than UNLV Prairie View A&M. Like, it's just a more fun game. Like, there's no doubt about it that it's more fun. You have an opinion on BYU as a school. Do you have any opinions on Prairie View A&M as a school or a football team?
Well, is it they play BYU or Prairie View question? Or,
no.
Hey, they play BYU and give me another Pac-12 opponent home and home instead?
But they don't have... How many Pac-12 opponents are they getting home at home? They got UCLA and Cal, but this isn't UNLV basketball. They can't just call up a Pac-12 school and say, hey, we want a home at home now.
Back into the Big Ten. You don't think those goofs want to come out to Vegas in a home at home?
Do they? I mean,
yes.
How many of them are on the schedule?
Absolutely. You. What do you think, Adam?
Yeah,
do you believe they could get Iowa home and home?
Yeah, Illinois or Iowa. They all have big fan bases, and they all want to come. The recruiting here sells that alone as well, where people want to be here and be in front of the recruits too.
I think, Tyler, you can shoot a lot higher with this new stadium.
Do people care that much about playing in the new stadium? I mean, I know Cal called UNLV and said, hey, we want to play in the new stadium, but, like, are people really that, other schools that excited to say, oh, this other team has a new stadium, we need to go play there?
I think you're missing the point. It's not the stadium. It's Las Vegas.
Why didn't they want to play before?
I don't know what the scheduling goals have been. And obviously, okay, Sanchez has lined up games against Michigan and Ohio State. The athletic department has done that for paydays. But if you shoot a little lower, then, you know, they were playing Wisconsin in years past. I think Wisconsin's a little too much to chew on for this Rebels football program. But I think the back end, a back end of the SEC, back end of the Big Ten. But you might be right. Maybe they've reached out to all these Big Ten teams and they're like, no way. I don't see that being the case.
I mean, I don't know exactly who they've reached out to, but if you're a Big Ten school, I don't think that UNLV is that special of an allure to come play. Like, it just, sure, maybe you get to recruit more in Vegas, but Vegas might be a good recruiting hotbed, but it's not anything like California or Texas, Florida. Like, it's pretty low on the list in terms of, oh, we need to go play in this state so that we can recruit better in that state.
I bet you Minnesota would do it. Row the boat guy is recruiting the hell out of Vegas right now, PJ Fleck.
You think you'd rather be recruiting in Vegas or in Texas?
Again, it's not a one or the other.
Yeah, I know. But
you know what I mean? Like, so, I haven't seen Minnesota's schedule going out, but I don't know if they've lined up games against, you know, A&M or Baylor. So, I don't know what his recruiting strongholds are going to be. Clearly, they have a connection to Vegas. So, we'll let this one, go ahead, finish up.
Let me finish up?
I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, no. I'm good. They should schedule BYU every year.
There you go. Tyler Bischoff with us. He's our new 10 a.m. host, 10 to 11. We're going to argue with him. We're going to play bites from his show. We may get on him. Don't be sensitive. I hope he does the same to us. I hope that happens. So you talked to Menzies earlier, Adam, with an inside joke about scheduling. You went at Menzies about the non-con this year for UNLV basketball. What was his response?
He wasn't very happy with people being critical of his non-conference schedule, basically saying that if you criticize college basketball scheduling, you don't know what you're talking about.
I thought it was also, I mean, part of his point that I think he was making to you is, as a coach, you have to win a certain amount of games to keep your job. I mean, he said it without saying it. Is that the sense that you got from him?
I didn't get that off the top, and I don't think that Marvin Menzies has any sort of win total expectation this year. Do you?
Well, he did say, if you give me a 5-year extension, I'll play anybody you want me to.
Yeah, that's true. And he, I think any coach would say, hey, if I've got a 10-year contract, I'll schedule whatever you want, whatever the athletic director wants. But scheduling always comes back to win total and the fact that coaches try to schedule for how good their team is going to be that year or how good they think their team is going to be that year. And so, yeah, I mean, it does ultimately come back to win total. But I don't think he scheduled this thinking, I need to win 20 games this year, because if he did that, it would be a much, there would be a lot more crappy teams on the schedule than there are. Like, there are decent games on the schedule, and if you run through it, there's a good chance they only win 6-7 games in non-conference. Like, it's not really a schedule that's padded up for a lot of easy wins.
Tyler Bischoff with us. Newest show, 10 a.m., Monday to Friday, 10 to 11. Technically correct, hosted by Tyler Bischoff. The interview with Menzies is out on Twitter, so check it out. At ESPN Las Vegas, at LV Sports Network, at Bischoff _ Tyler. One last question about the conversation. He's not a set goals publicly for individual players, so he's really hesitant on blowing up freshmen. What did he have to say about, I mean, both of these guys are bringing in, and Trey Woodbury and Bryce Hamilton are top 150 players, so there's expectations. What did he say about playing time and what he thinks they're going to deliver this year?
He tanked their expectations. I mean, he went, asked him about the minutes that those two guys are going to play. And within about two sentences, Marvin Menzies starts talking about the character of these guys and how great a guy they are and nothing about their basketball. Nothing at all about what they do on the court. And I was like, good Lord. Like, are these guys even going to get on the floor this year? Because, you know, listen, if you're a coach, you don't often go into the character route when you ask about what a guy's going to do for you on the floor in his first year, unless that guy's not going to play. So it's a very strange answer, because if you look at their depth chart in the backcourt, at least one of those two guys is going to have to play pretty big minutes this year.
Which one do you think it'll be?
I don't know enough about both of them to really figure out which one. Whichever one shoots better, whichever one's a better three-point shooter, it should be the one that plays, and Marvin will go with the other one because he hates three-point shooting.
I was going to say, I think if the other one can defend, if one's more of a defender and one's more of a three-point shooter, I think the defender's going to play.
Yeah, and that tends to be what Marvin Menzies likes to do, is defense first on the floor, and then you have moments where the team can't score in stretches, so you got to put a guy like Jovan Mohring back out there. But yeah, it's just the guard position this year, and it depends on what Marvin Menzies' definition of a guard, because he was playing Tervell Beck on the wing at times last season. So the true guards on this team, there's not a lot of them. There's only four of them. So Trey Woodbury, Bryce Hamilton, at least one.